My special guest today is going to rock your world. You better hold on to your seats because you haven't heard a story quite like this one. He's a pastor. He's a teacher. He's an author. He's a voice for Israel, a man that believes in fighting for the right for Israel to exist. The question is this: how in the world does a former junkie become a voice for a nation that the world's watching right now? You don't want to miss today's program because my special guest is none other than Pastor Larry Huck. He has a television program that is impacting the world. He has a voice that when you hear it, you better sit up because this man is about to grab your attention and change your life. This man is a man that many people respect. But more than that, he's a family man. He's a husband. He's a father. He's an amazing grandfather is what I hear. But more than that, he's a man that fell in love with God. And I want to tell you something. There's a scripture that every time I read it, I always think about my special guest. I got to give you this scripture before we get going. The scripture I'm talking about is found in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 39. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you, the Bible says. And he went away. I think about Larry Huck when this scripture is being read, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus has done for him. I want to welcome author, Bible teacher, pastor, author, host of an amazing television program. This is it right here. Pastor Larry Huck, welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, brother. Good to be with you guys again.
Man.
It's like we demo. We're looking good.
Hey, not too bad for a bunch of ex-gang members and junkies, right?
You know, when I'm doing a program with you, I always think about that. The Bible says God chooses the foolish to confound the wise. And so he reaches down Bondo and takes people like you and I off the streets so that whatever happens, there's no doubt we're giving God all the praise and all the glory.
Pastor Larry, you amaze me, man. You are unbelievable. You have an amazing church. I got to say this right. You have an amazing church that is preaching the gospel. But more than that, you're a teacher, man. Those people are really learning everything about the Hebrew scriptures and the nation of Israel. How in the world does a former junkie become a pastor and a voice for the nation of Israel?
You know, one of the things I love about serving the Lord, Mondo, and this is one of the reasons I wrote the book, is number one is to tell people, no matter how deep of a hole you may be in, or maybe it's your son or your daughter or your granddaughter or whoever it may be, no matter how deep of a hole you may be in, the love of God and the light of God is deeper than any hole you can get yourself in. But the other side of that is not only when God pulls us out, like he did you, brother, pulls us out of that hole, that one of the scriptures that I love teaching is that Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundant. He hasn't just come to get us to heaven. We know that's the main thing. But he said, I've come to give you life and that life more abundant. And, you know, since I've given my life to the Lord many, many years ago, I always look at, okay, God, what do you want of me next? What can I do next? Where's the next level that we can go to? And that's what led me into falling in love with the Jewish roots of Christianity, and through that, falling in love with Israel and the Jewish people. And then through that, realizing that this is end time prophecy, that the eyes of the Gentiles would be open and we'd begin to come back to our Jewish roots, that we'd be fulfilling Ephesians, that the wall between Jews and Gentiles would come down. And it's just, it's, And you know, the thing my wife and I, Tiz, always talk about, Mondo, is the end of the story hasn't happened yet. As a matter of fact, all of us are heading into the most exciting part of the story, and that's getting ready for the coming of the Messiah.
You would never believe just on the way you present yourself, the way you carry yourself, the way you speak, that you would have a life of a junkie and drugs and anger and violence. And some people will call that being cursed. But yet, look at you today. I mean, Pastor, you amaze me. I love you. You know that? I love you because it's hard to find people that are just bold and real about not only where you come from, but the process that God takes you. Let me ask you this. I got so many questions I want to ask you because you fascinate me. How did you not get stuck in the wheel of the church, not knowing what to do with a junkie?
Well, you know, when I tell the story, Mondo, and I'm sure you have the same story, I tell the story that when I came to that church that first night to watch that movie and to see Gospel Road, you know, I came with no shoes on, no shirt on. I came with needle marks up and down my arms. I was, you know, I was a junkie. It was quite obvious I was a hippie, a junkie. And when I went to pray to receive Jesus as my Savior, and that became my church. It was a great learning lesson for everybody. Nobody came up and prayed with me. Nobody came up. In fact, I just talked about this in our church here in Dallas this last Sunday, that everybody looked at me and looked at Donna, the girl I was with, and they said, well, they'll never make it. And I always want to remind people, and I remind myself every day, that man may look on the outside, but God looks on the inside. And I've used that as a motivation that no matter where we come from, no matter what our past is, that when we accept Jesus as our Savior, he not only, and you know, you said something about it sounds like a curse. He not only forgives us, but Jesus died on the cross, Mondo, because he came not just to forgive us, but to break every curse. And so, you know, what Satan's meant for evil, you and I can look at anybody and say, doesn't matter where you're from, we know Jesus can change your life, not just because we read it in the Bible, because we've experienced it. As a matter of fact, I really think those who are forgiven much loveth much. And I think it's the thing that keeps motivating me. You know, King David said, Lord, remind me of the pit from which I was dug. And, you know, when I first got saved, and I say this just to encourage people, when I first gave my life to the Lord and started coming to church, you know, I have, I went to college. I played football in college. I think I lack 8 hours for my second degree. But when I got saved, they put me in the 15 and under Sunday school class because I had done so many drugs for so many years that I could barely talk. I could barely communicate with people. And so they actually put me in the Sunday school class for the kids because they didn't think I could handle the adult classes. And God reached in and began to change me. And, you know, I want everything that God has to offer. So I think sometimes, Mondo, people like you and I from the streets, maybe we're a little bolder in that, you know, we face what the street and the world has to offer. What the devil tries to do is nothing, because we know we're not winning this on our own. We're winning this by the name and the blood of Jesus.
It's either that or we don't know any better. Oh, listen, the world was not ready for Larry Hook. I want to tell you that. The church, oh boy, you done messed up the church world, Pastor Larry, because your boldness. I love what you stand for. I want you to take me back where that moment was birthed, because I wrote a book as well, and I don't mean to talk about my book, but you and I have parallels of our father. And my father was my everything. My father was my world, was my hero. But the moment one evening on a Saturday at 6 p.m., My father went from being a man, a gentleman, to a man that was transformed by anger and began to beat my mother almost to death. And as I stood there as a six-year-old watching my hero turn into a monster, my world changed. Take me back to what was it like to see your father face to face and things changed, because nothing was the same after what happened between, you know, the anger and the violence. What did it mean to you for your father to really, I don't want to say not be there, but at the same time, not understanding what it was to be a father?
Yeah, you know, and it's so important that we talk about this because, you know, a lot of people that even are Christians and love the Lord have an anger problem. And I look back at my dad, and I don't say this against my dad, because my dad didn't know Jesus, and he did give his life to the Lord right before he passed away. And so he was right in his heart. But my dad was a mean old guy. He was a tough old guy. And I don't ever remember my dad giving me a hug. I don't ever remember my dad, any of us, saying he loved us. And there are several incidents where I saw him the same thing, beat my mom and beat us. And, you know, we weren't supposed to talk at the dinner table. We lived in a little, I think it was 800 square foot home, all the boys and the girl and my sister and us, and little bitty kitchen. And one day my brother and I were messing around, which we weren't supposed to. And I knocked the plate of food on the floor, and he made me eat the food off the floor with just my face. And I can remember him picking up a coffee cup and throwing it and hitting my brother in the face, and came home from college and my little sister's eye was swollen closed. And I looked at all these things, and you know, I can remember my dad when I was a young boy like you. I came home 5 minutes late for dinner, and I walked in and he blindsided me and knocked me down, punched me and knocked me down. I was a little bitty guy, and then kicked me all the way through the house. And my mom came out to get the car keys, and my dad said, what are you doing? She goes, you broke his ribs. I got to take him to the hospital. And he said, no, I'm not spending any money on him. And so all those things were things that shaped my life in a negative way. But I think the worst one, Mondo, is I came home as a little guy, and my dad was on the phone. I can remember walking in the kitchen. His back was to me to the left, and he's trying to give me away. He's trying to get a boys home to come in and get me. And he said, I don't want him. And I remember going into my room, and he didn't know I was there, and I just started crying. There never was any love. We never felt any love, but now he's trying to give me away. And I began to cry, and then I grabbed myself and I said, nobody will ever make me cry again. And that's a sad thing for a 7 or 8 year old, 9 year old, whatever I was, to say, nobody will ever make me cry again. And I looked at that, Mondo, and I said, I'll never be like that. I will never be like that. And yet what's in the father, the iniquities of the father, passes down to the third and the fourth generation. And so I was that. So we talk a lot about the addiction that was in my life, the heroin, the cocaine, the addictions. But the other thing, and probably the strongest thing that God delivered me from, was that spirit of anger. And people today, you know, I just did an interview with Stephen Strang, the owner of Charisma. And he said, Larry, I've known you for 30 years. I would never have thought these things were in your life. And that's why we wrote it, to let people know that Jesus will not only forgive you, but he can change you. And, you know, I joke with the church all the time. I said, people say, Pastor, it's hard to realize that you were that violent and that angry. And I said, yo, today it's hard for me to lose my temper. It's hard to get me to, unless you're driving if you're driving slow in the fast lane, then there's no reason for that nonsense. But That's the miracle that we want to tell people is God will not only forgive you, Mondo, as you know, as you've lived, God can change you.
Thank you for tuning in today. We'll be right back with our special guest, Larry Hook. His testimony is so powerful, and I want you to believe for a miracle in your household today. I believe that prayer changes things. I believe that when you sow a seed of prayer, the harvest comes back, and you don't even know that that harvest will end up changing the world. Well, that's what happened to me. Somebody prayed for me. That someone was my sister. She said, what if God is real? What if prayer works? And what if you have a different destiny? Well, my destiny is what you're watching right now. The God calling for my life to preach the gospel through Christian television is here today. But it doesn't happen just by happenstance. It happens because you're praying for me. You continue to sow a seed. And this month, I have an opportunity to expand this program to other networks, but it's going to take some finances to do that. I want you to pray about considering and partnering with me, The Mondo Show, and stand with me with prayer. But more than that, stand with me by sowing a seed this month to help me meet my goal of $50,000 to be able to ignite a fire that would just be the beginning of something that is going to change the world. And when you join today, I want to send you a copy of my brand new book, My Crazy Life and the Moments That Brought a Gangster to Grace. It's going to be a story that is going to make you so hopeful and believing in the power of prayer. I want you to stand with me today and believe for the miracles that God has for your house. Listen, I love you and I thank you for praying with me, and I thank you for considering standing with me by expanding this program all over the world. Let's get back to hear more of the testimony of my special guest, pastor, author, Bible teacher, a voice for Israel, Larry Hook, from Junkie to Jerusalem. I'll see you in just a little bit. People look at you right now, you have your beautiful office, yet several decades ago, that could have been a prison cell or 6 feet underground.
Absolutely. You know, and it's amazing that you say that because, you know, my mom told Tiz, my wife, a few years ago, she said, when I saw Larry leave Missouri and head out west, she said, I never thought we'd see him alive again, because she knew I was a drug addict. She knew I was shooting up. I was doing heroin and cocaine. And she said either he would die of a drug overdose or someone would kill him. As a matter of fact, you know, Mondo, after I gave my life to the Lord, my mom wouldn't tell anybody where I lived because she was afraid somebody would come and kill me. And so I can look back, you know, I can look back. I overdosed when I had a ranch down in outside of Medellin, Colombia, in a village called Envigado. And if you've ever seen the documentary called Narcos about Pablo Escobar, Envigado was his town. And we were the first ones that were meeting with him and his people to set up smuggling cocaine out of there. And we had a ranch up above the little town of Envigado. We were using Escobar's taxi cabs that were in that town. And one day I overdosed, and I knew I'd overdosed. I knew I was dying. I fell to the floor and I cried out, Mondo, and I said, God, don't let me die. And I know a lot of times this is hard for Christians to understand, but I didn't pray to God because I was afraid of going to hell. I didn't know anything about hell. I didn't believe in hell. I wasn't afraid of hell. But I said, God, don't let me die until I find what happiness is, because I'd never been happy. Oh, you get something new, you new drugs or whatever, or sports or whatever, or money or whatever. And it makes you happy for a little while, but every single one of us has a hole in our heart, in our spirit, that only Jesus can fill. And so here I was at literally at the top of the mountain. I've got money coming in that I never thought I would see growing up in the inner city of South St. Louis, and all the drugs and all the bad things that go with it. And I said, God, don't let me die until I find what happiness is. And Mondo, I can see from that moment, I can see God orchestrating. You know, we know the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And I was way, way far from being a righteous man. But I can look and see him starting to orchestrate my steps all the way to the point of coming back to America, finding out that there were 7 federal warrants out for my arrest. I've been selling to a undercover narcotics agent, and we ran from the law and came out to Flagstaff, Arizona, and a young guy, 5 days old in the Lord, who had also been a drug addict, 5 days old in the Lord. I'm sitting out on my porch, got long hair, I'm smoking dope, and he walks up to me and he says, I've never done this before, but Jesus is who you're looking for. And, I argued with him. He was a very simple guy, but very, very, very plain guy. He ended up living next to me. His name was Bill Trujillo, a young Mexican guy. And he went on to be with the Lord, Mondo, not up long after he won me to the Lord. He had an accident and complications. But, you know, I look at that and I'm thinking, where would I be if Bill Trujillo hadn't looked beyond the drugs and the long hair and the beard and everything? Where would I be if he hadn't told me? And, you know, I out-argued him. And all he kept saying was, I don't know. Well, what about this? What about that? I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that I prayed and Jesus changed my life. And, you know, my pastor told us something back when we first gave our lives to the Lord, that a man with a philosophy has no chance against a man with an experience. And I kept telling him what I think, and he kept telling me who he met. And that is what changed my life. And little did I realize that God would not only save me. And, you know, when I finally started going back to church, and the girls went and started going, but I wouldn't go. And I finally went back, and this guy called me out and he said, you're going to preach the gospel. Now picture what I looked like. I never wore shoes. I didn't wear a shirt. I wore a poncho and, you know, all this stuff. And he said, you're going to preach the gospel around the world. And that's the thing I love about the Lord, is that he's come, who, no matter who you are, no matter what mistakes you've made, he's come to forgive you. He's come to break those curses off of you and your family. And he's come to put you on a journey, Mondo, as you and I know, that is beyond anything we can imagine. You know, in 4 days, I don't know when you're showing this. I think we're taping it. But in just a few days, I leave to go speak in France for the Nation of Israel with the Israel government. And from there, we're taking a whole plane of Olim, of Jews out of France that are making Aliyah to the Nation of Israel. And I'll be meeting with the President of Israel, I think Prime Minister Netanyahu, perhaps. I'll be meeting with Ambassador Ron Dermer. We're going to be filming in Judea and Samaria, and giving your life to the Lord, and you and I know this, but for those who need to be saved, or those who have a son or a daughter needs to be saved, giving your life to the Lord, I never became religious. I'm not religious to this day. I didn't receive a religion. You and I didn't receive. Religion won't change you, but I came and met. I got a relationship with the resurrected Son of God. And when he takes you in his arms and begins to guide your life, all the years, all the blessings, all the things that God had prepared for you. You know, ancient Jewish wisdom says the moment before we're born, our souls, our spirit stands before the throne of God. And he says, I have a destiny for you. I have a mission for you. And when we come here, the enemy tries to stop that. But once we give our lives to the Lord, he puts us back on that path for our destiny. And I can guarantee you, religion may be boring, But a relationship with the living Son of God is nothing but an adventure, and our best is yet to come.
My goodness. If Jesus can change the life of a former junkie, can you imagine what he can do with yours? This is just the beginning. I want you to get the book today and share it with your friends, From Junkie to Jerusalem. What a fascinating title, by the way, A Journey of Destiny. He's a pastor, he's an author, he's a voice to the nation of Israel, and he's a man that fell in love with Jesus and hasn't stopped. He, in my opinion, Pastor Larry Hook, was the first former junkie to have a syndicated global impact on the world through his television program. That is groundbreaking. That doesn't happen. If you understand how networks work, if you understand that networks don't just pick anybody to be syndicating, that's a miracle in itself. And you know what's happening right now? I'm in the middle of a miracle. God is using this program hosted by an ex-gang member and being offered time to be syndicated. I'm already syndicated through the PTL network, which is an amazing blessing. But now I have the Word Network, World Harvest Network, and other networks that want to carry this program hosted by a former gang member from East LA, California. Only God can do that. But it's not going to happen by myself. It's going to take you and I to partner together, because to climb that mountain, we're going to have to be together and pray together and sow a seed together. Will you consider standing with me this month and say, you know what, Mondo, I want to be a part of that journey to know that God is using men like yourself to be able to preach the gospel to the drug addicts, to the gang members, to the junkies, to the house mom, to the dads. Listen, this is a miracle. Some people say and believe that legacy television is over. I don't believe that. I believe that the greatest miracle is going to happen once again through Christian television. God did it before. He's going to do it again. And Christian television is going to continue to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, what happens is that people are measuring Christian television with network television, secular television. God is not over with Christian television. God is raising people like myself to get back in the saddle and do what the Pat Robertsons did, do what the Jim Bakers did, because together we're changing the world for Jesus Christ. Amen. I got to go. But remember this, Pastor Larry Hook, I love you. You got to come back and let's do this again. But remember this.
Anytime. And let me just say to your people, get behind this guy. I love your spirit. I love your anointing. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. I believe the legacy of Jim is passed on to you, and your best is yet to come. Now's the time to get behind ministry like Mondo and help us spread the gospel.
Amen. I love you, sir. I can't wait to talk to you again. And remember this, no matter what is going on around you, keep the faith. It's going to be all right. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.